This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Today we present the final installment of Julian Crandall Hollick's personal look at Bombay's pavement dwellers, the people who live on Appana Street. Julian first went to Appana Street in 1986. The previous year, after seeing their huts demolished every other week by city authorities, a small group of pavement dwellers in Baikala finally decided they'd had enough. They desperately wanted homes of their own, but individually, they were powerless. Together, however, they might be able to do something. So they formed an organization they called Maila Milan, or Women Coming Together.
My name is Sheila Patel, and I'm going to tell you my version of how Maila Milan was formed.
Sheila Patel trained as a social worker here in Bombay. Her first job was in the Nagpara Neighbourhood House, a community centre slap bang in the middle of Baikala. Nice programmes, nursery school, immunisation and preventive health care for the babies of the poor, but always dealing with the symptoms of poverty, not its causes.
This was in 1974. That was the time when all over the city there were poor people coming from villages and settling down in different parts of the city. All around our center, there were people living on the pavements. And these services, which we designed so efficiently and designed so well, seemed totally irrelevant to them.
Sheila felt first frustration, then anger. So along with several colleagues, they quit the centre to form their own organisation. Their mission, to help the pavement dwellers, the poorest of the poor, whom nobody else seemed to care about. The trouble was, the poorest of the poor didn't seem very interested in these self-styled missionaries.
Well, actually, when I look back to those first 4 or 5 months, they were a really difficult period because we were all enthusiastic and excited about not being chained in by other people's designs of how poor people should be helped. And we had this lovely image that we were going to do exactly what poor people wanted. But the poor people who we talked to didn't know what to do with us, because we didn't behave like all these social workers who'd been visiting them all the time.
For 20 years, Samina had lived here on the pavement. In Bombay, it's still often called the footpath. Outside a small, dusty park in Baikala called Jula Maidan. Sheila Patel and colleagues made their headquarters in the old stone garage behind the municipal health dispensary, bang opposite Samina's hut.
And we used to watch them coming over here, and we used to wonder what they were up to. They opened an office over here, we saw it, and they used to come and they used to sing songs with our children. And they used to carry these children, hold them, hug them. We thought, are they mad sitting and wanting to hold our black, dirty, filthy children? No, but maybe they weren't so mad after all.
Leke gaya. Toh hum log aisa hi hai na, ki jarurat tha pehla ghar ka.
And there were two things really that probably made the difference. One is we didn't give up. We just walked up and down those streets. We tried to smile at all these women, tried to have conversation with them. And when they didn't talk to us, we started playing with their kids. And I think that's what made the difference. They realized that these people must have something in their minds if they just keep coming back and keep coming back. And it's out of that process that our first contacts with women on different pavements began.
We didn't come in first. We used to watch them. We saw their office. We were very, very skeptical about them in the beginning. Everybody had come. Whenever they wanted votes, oh great, come sister, I'll make you a toilet, I'll make you a tap, I'll get you a house, I'll do this, I'll do that. Once a year we had this round of I'll make you this, I'll make you that, but nothing came out of it. So very skeptical. Apna Street, Water Street, all these women used to come.
Gidhar ka gaon kidhar hai wo bhi nahi jante the. To ye isme is pat Lila Patel ko ya Silin ko ya Mona teen char bahut matlab usko bhi.
And Samina remained skeptical, gloriously skeptical. We were Anguta types. We could sign our names with our thumbprints. We really didn't know a thing. And we couldn't make head or tail of these women. So we decided to gang up on them. What could they possibly teach us, huh? They could be forgiven their skepticism. After all, here were well-educated, middle-class ladies from the posh parts of the city coming to try and help those for whom every day was a new chapter in the art of sheer survival.
Sheila started this organization and came to me, Sheila, Celine, and Mona. These are the three girls who used to work in this area. They came to me and started talking to me about this whole housing for the pavement dwellers. I didn't believe them. I used to just throw them out and say, who are you to tell me about, you know, building and houses for us and all that? You are bullshitting. We know better than you how to survive in this city. And then that's how we used to, I used to throw them out.
But they kept on coming back and back and back and talking, always talking.
And slowly I started having confidence in them and I started believing what they were trying to tell us.
हम लोग इतना साल से फुटपाथ में जाएगा तो किधर जाएगा फिर दीदी बोली
And Samina and Sagira and Medina and Muni and this woman Lakshmi, they would come and sit and listen and talk in the afternoons and then report back to the curious on their streets. Now, when Lakshmi and the others came to the meetings in Baikala, they thought they'd be getting the usual development goodie, a free house. But as Lakshmi remembers, that is precisely what did not happen.
When we came here to the meetings, we were told that we would not be given anything. That no, we wouldn't be given any kind of welfare or any kind of service, and you would have to find for ourselves and make our own direction. So this surprised us a little bit in the beginning. And gradually it made sense that we had to find our own direction.
Today, the Baikala office has been taken over by Samina Lakshmi and the others. It's their office, a landmark for pavement dwellers all over the city. But in the beginning, there were a mere handful of them. They had no identity, no self-confidence. They thought of themselves as kachra, as dirt, as nobodies. But this time they'd had enough. Their huts were being demolished several times a week. They were angry and they wanted a house, a real house of their own. Now, dreams are always cheap. Figuring out how to make them real is quite another matter. You can't run until you can walk, and you can't walk before you learn how to crawl. But once you learn how to crawl and then how to walk, self-confidence begins to breed self-confidence. So Sheila and the others began with simple, practical first steps. Lakshmi says the first thing they did was to get ration cards. In India, the poor get subsidized staple foods like rice or lentils or cooking oil from government ration shops. But to qualify, you have to have a ration card. And to get the ration card, you have to prove a fixed and permanent address. If you live in a slum, that qualifies. But if you live on the pavement and your house is demolished every 2 weeks, you don't qualify. That is, until Sheila, Celine and company decided to make Lakshmi and the others claim what was theirs by right.
We were denied the ration card, saying we live on the pavement, so we have no right to acquire a ration card. So we had meeting in Nagpada neighborhood out with Sheila Didi, and one day we all decided to go with her in an ambulance to the ration officer, and we all went there. 50 of us went with her. And she went inside and spoke to that officer. After that, we were called inside
And we filled up our forms, and within a few days, we got our ration card.
Nothing unusual thus far. The social workers were still basically doing the work for them. But once the pavement dwellers formed their own organization and new members started signing up and the newcomers needed ration cards, then things really started to change. Self-confidence started busting out all over. People on the street began to sit up and take notice. They came to the meetings out of curiosity to find out what the hell was going on. The social workers were forcing the pavement dwellers to take charge of their own lives.
From the office, the girls stopped coming. Somebody from the office stopped coming with us, and we started going on our own. And we used to take, every time we went there, we used to take 10 to 15 people from our locality.
Enter the missing ingredient. Joaquin. Corruption of Joaquin. A good Catholic boy, originally from Bangalore, who came to Bombay when he was 18. Joaquin's always been both slum dweller and grassroots activist, a human dynamo with 3 days stubble on his face, that's shaved off for holy days or when his wife Rita so wills it. An imp of a man, of inexhaustible energies, a born leader of men and women. Joaquin told the small group of pavement dwellers they had rights like everyone else. And he also told them they could negotiate with the government and with the police. It was permitted. It was allowed. It was normal. It was their right.
Police now. How did you used to deal with them in the past before Joaquin came on the scene?
Usse pehle hai na, Joaquin ke aane se pehle hum log police se darte the, bhagte the. Police ko dekhne ka, to kuch bhi haath mein rehne ka, wo leke bhag jane ka. Ki police ke saath hum log baat bhi nahi kar sak paate the.
Initially, I've been living in Bombay for 20 years, but before Joaquin Bhai came, I used to be very scared of the policeman. The moment we used to see any policeman, we used to run away from them.
It took Joaquin to change this fear and antagonism. He suggested the pavement dwellers invite the local police chief, Mr. Zende, to come and have tea with them on the street. So they sent the police chief a written invitation. 500 women turned up, and so did Mr. Zende.
Who came and told us about what are laws, you know, how to file a first information report. And as women, if some antisocial element or some thief came to our locality, even if we cut his hand or, you know, we injured him and took him to the police station, the law would be on our side. So he came and enlightened us on the prevailing laws and what we could fight for and get away.
Same story with the hospitals. Nobody had ever told the pavement dwellers they were entitled to free treatment if they only asked at the right office. Now the middle class take this as normal, and they're right. But when you're poor and illiterate and female, learning to make the system work for you can be very, very hard. Lakshmi admits now it was very much a case of one step forward, two steps back.
When we went to the government to negotiate with them, to get some sort of a housing for us, the government people's reaction was, you know, all the pavement dwellers are too dirty. If we give them any land or a house, they will sell it and go away, and they will go and sit on some other pavement and make more money. We were very dejected. We felt very frustrated.
Things are changing slowly now and for the better. But back in the mid-80s, a pavement dweller trying to get a loan for a house was like whistling for the moon. Sheila Patel and Joaquin, however, came up with a devastatingly simple solution.
And then Sheila Didi told us, can you save 1 rupee every day? If you save 1 rupee every day and we make that into some sort of a housing bank by out of which we can, you know, build houses for you people. And we all agreed and we said, definitely we can save 1 rupee. And that's how this whole banking system was started, credit system was started in Mahila Milan.
It's been a very long march since then, of little victories, many defeats, but always a clear sense of the ultimate prize. The result is an extraordinary self-confidence. tempered with realism about how the world really works.
We knew Jokim Bhai, Sheila Didi and Celine Didi are behind us. They used to guide us and they used to tell us how to deal with the officials in the government. And they would always tell us, don't feel ashamed or don't hesitate to go and approach any officer just because you are poor. You also have certain rights. And even any time you go to their offices, you don't hesitate to sit on a chair because you are a poor person. You have a right to sit on that chair and negotiate and talk to him. And they would always initially come with us, but stand behind us. And they would ask us to talk to that official. And if we had any problems, they would talk to them in English and make them understand. That's how we gained our confidence.
Jokim Bhai aayega na abhi?
The women have since learnt many things for themselves, how to design and build their own houses, how to negotiate with the city, how housing law and finance really work. They've learnt that formal literacy isn't always the key to development, that it's what's inside you, the fire in your belly, that counts. They've discovered that the poor don't necessarily have it better in the affluent West. They've even gone there and seen for themselves. But above all, they've learnt one simple lesson, that with a little help, the poor can indeed change their own lives and make everyone else's life better in the process. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Bombay.
Julian's taking the next few months off to travel with some of the Maila Milan women to South Africa, where they will teach others how to build their own homes. The music for Apna Street was composed and performed by El Subramaniam. The programs were mixed by Fernando Ruiz del Prado and were produced by IBA Productions. Funding for Apna Street was provided by the Ford Foundation and the Biden-Pell Development Fund. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.